Well, good morning, boys and girls. Happy Sabbath. Are you having a good day? Some of us are. How many of you like to do an experiment? Any of you ever done any experiments? Okay, everybody needs to be down in front here so we can see. I like doing experiments too. I found an experiment recently, saw one, and I told my wife about it. And so at home in our kitchen, we started doing this experiment. We're going to show you the experiment that we did, and I'm going to let Sherilyn kind of tell us too about it.
Okay, we're starting with what? An egg. Okay, what do you notice about the egg? It's white. Is it soft or is it hard? Hard on the outside, isn't it? Well, yeah, it's made in such a way, in such a design. Well, we took an egg like that and we put it in something called vinegar. I don't know, maybe some of your moms at home use vinegar at home to help clean. Sometimes you can use vinegar to help clean around. And the vinegar, it helps to start to clean off the hard part of that egg, you know. It's really hard, but when you put it in the vinegar, it starts to bubble up, and that's the beginning of the acid in there to start to dissolve the shell. Well, sometimes we can be like an egg. Sometimes we can be kind of hard. We kind of have a hard shell or have a hard heart. And you know, the Bible is a precious thing, because the Bible, when we read the Bible and we learn what it says in the Bible, it can help clean us on the inside. And so God's word can melt away the hardness of our heart. And now we have, it's this one. It's that one. We've got an egg in here now that doesn't have the shell. And it's really soft. And it's pliable. It's flexible. It doesn't have that hard shell anymore. The vinegar took all that away. And God's word can take away all that hardness out of our heart too. Well, now God can work with us, right? Now, the next step was we put it in corn syrup. And you need to explain the osmosis.
Okay, what happens when we put it in the corn syrup? The water inside the egg wants to get out into the corn syrup. So all the water inside that was in that egg came out into the corn syrup, and what's left is this little shriveled up egg because it's emptied itself of all the water inside the egg.
And so that reminded me of John 15:5 that says, without me you can do nothing. Without God's word, without the Holy Spirit, we are just nothing. And only by God's power can we do anything. And so then we took that egg that looked all deflated and yellow, and we put it in distilled water. And you know what happened? And it got all filled up again. It got all filled up with water. And that water... Okay, yeah. It's the one in the water. We're trading eggs. Just a moment. We're trading eggs. Okay. All right. Here. This is the one. Now this one has been in water, the distilled water, and it got all nice and plump again. And There's something very special about this egg now.
We've got a little video, so you can watch this along with us as we do this.
So that all of you can see it, because you won't be able to see it up here like the children. So as soon as we do this, you're going to see what happens. This soft heart, you know, this is like our heart that has become soft. It doesn't have that hard shell anymore. And, you know, Jesus can work with us when we have a soft heart. And when we do, we are filled with that living water. And that living water, it just can't help but come out of us because we're so happy, because we love Jesus. And look and see what happens. Watch real closely. The fountain? Okay. It's just like a little fountain coming up because of that living water inside. And we're okay, and they've got it up there too, so you can see what's going on.
Wow, look at that.
Okay. It's almost done. It's still going. Oh, still going a little bit. Okay. So Let's pray and ask Jesus to help us. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for the egg experiment, for helping us to understand how you want to melt away the hardness of our heart and fill us with your living water. And I pray that you would do that today. Thank you so much for hearing and answering our prayers. In thy precious name, amen. Oh, we took it out then. Yeah, then we took it out. Yeah.
That was a wonderful illustration. You know, also, not only the word, but prayer often softens our hearts as well. And it's this time of the service. Sometimes it goes unappreciated, kind of we gloss over it. There's blue cards in your pews. Now, if you haven't, it's for filling out any prayer requests that you may have or blessing that you want to share. So if you have those filled out, and if you don't have them filled out, you know, if you come on a regular basis, you can always fill it out ahead of time for next week. And I would encourage you to do that as well. Prayer is very important. As we mentioned tonight, at 5:30, we're going to have a prayer for the meetings tonight. All the leaders, all the people that are involved should be here in the sanctuary at 5:30. I want to say that again because it is very important that we pray for these meetings. So, because last week we prayed each time before the meetings, and last week's meetings were well attended. And many there were people that were on Facebook looking for something to do, apparently, and they came across A Pale Horse Rides. Now, somebody could say that was coincidence, but I think that was direct answer to our prayers. So I encourage us to pray. So if you have your blue cards, and at this time, come forward, and if you want to join me up here in front to pray as well, I encourage you to do it as well. But at this time, we will have prayer.
Cast all my cares upon you. I lay all my burdens down at your feet, and make time. I don't know what to do.
Dear Jesus, Heavenly Father, you are so great and powerful. You have the resounding sound that through your word, and as we kneel on our knees, and as we lift up our hearts, you are the sound that echoes in our hearts and our minds. Lord, I pray that each one here, Lord, can hear your voice, that can hear the still small voice, and Lord, that each one of us will not ignore your voice, but heed your voice. That we will follow your will. Lord, if there is someone here that still needs to accept you, that is our prayer, that they will hearken unto your voice. Lord, we think of those here, the blue cards, and those that have prayers in their hearts that are lifting up to you as I speak, Lord. For not only is my voice heard, but the voice within the hearts of these people here in this moment, Lord, are lifting up to you. By faith, we believe that you hear us. By faith, we believe that the outcomes will be the best for each individual. Lord, we want to lift up as well as we did on Wednesday for Fidel. Lord, we lifted him up on Wednesday and his life was at meek energy. He was dying. And Lord, you sustained him through our prayers. And Lord, we want to lift him up again. And all those in our lives who are dealing with struggles, may we all come to a knowledge and understanding and, most importantly, a relationship with you, Lord. That the things of this world, Lord, we will cast away for the precious treasures that you have for us. That each one here may know that we may live with hope. And Lord, that is also on our hearts, the series Living with Hope. That you will remind us to be here at 5:30 to pray for the meetings. That we will be praying through the meetings, and every day for the people of Wichita, Park City, and the surrounding areas, Lord, and for the people in this church that don't know you, Lord, that you will make a personal invitation through the Holy Spirit upon their hearts to come to these meetings. Lord, I pray that through the Holy Spirit, you will speak through Pastor in these meetings. That even though the voice of the pastor is heard, that they will hear your voice as well. Maybe even over his voice. Lord Jesus, I also want to pray specifically for Cheryl and Mrs. Bryant as she is about to speak the word today, that she is going to give the message that you have put on her heart specifically for us today. Lord, that we will not go away the same person. We ask these things by faith in you as our Savior. In the name Jesus Christ, amen.
Happy Sabbath, three angels. Excuse me. Happy Sabbath, three angels. So much better. I hope everyone is enjoying this Sabbath as I am. And today, like so many illustrations we've had, and the morning prayer was beautiful. Thank you, Brian. I have a story to tell you. It's a fable, so it is not an original story. But there was once a salesperson, a very good salesperson, and he had an agreement with God. He made an agreement with God that he could bring with him to heaven two bags when his name got called up to go to heaven. So, him being a salesman, he went and sold everything that he had. And he got given back two gold bars. On the day of resurrection, when everybody's names got called, he showed up to heaven with his two bags. At the gates, he met with Peter. Peter told him, "My friend, why are you here with your bags? There's no earthly possessions that come into heaven." Into Peter's amazement, he looked inside the bags and saw the two gold bars. His amazement went from just amazement to just disbelief, because he couldn't believe why this man would bring pavement to heaven, because all his possessions here on earth, he turned them to gold. And then he didn't know that in heaven people would be walking on the pavement that is made out of gold. Mrs. White had this to say: "The character is the only thing that believers will carry to heaven. That is just our own characters. Not gold, not silver, not our belongings. There's nothing here on earth that we're going to take to heaven other than our characters. People value many things on this earth that have no eternal value, whether it is possession, family, or career. Nothing should cloud the vision, as Paul wrote, 'One thing I do, I press towards the goal for the prize.'" Let us ponder about these words as the ushers move forward to come collect the offering. bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our kind and heavenly Father, we are grateful. We are thankful for everything that you have done to us, Father. Father in heaven, every single thing that we have is yours. We ask for these offerings that we have offered to you, Father, that you might bless them and help it to help us help it grow the church, Father. We thank you and we love you, Father. In Jesus' name I do pray and believe. Amen. Thank you.
Can you get the feeling the Lord has something special for us today? One day at a time, as they said, right? Show me the way. At this present time, open up your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. That's the letter to the Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1 through 3. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, He has spoken to us by His Son, whom He appointed the heir of all things, through whom also He created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of His nature, and He upholds the universe by the word of His power. After making purification for sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high.
Good morning. Thank you so much for the beautiful hymns this morning, the beautiful pictures that went with those. I want to thank Dr. Tan especially for putting those together today. Thank you for all those that have played their music today and made our service already so special. And would you just bow your heads with me as I have an added word of prayer? Precious Father, we thank you again for this wonderful, beautiful day called the Sabbath, this memorial of your creation, where we can take extra time to be in nature and learn of you and your precious lessons for us. May we today be able to have that time to do so. And I pray that you'd be with us now, especially as we open your word and as we think of how your word has impacted our hearts and lives. May we each think of what you've done for us in our own hearts. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I open my Bible book and read, He loves me. I open my Bible book and read, He helps me. I open my Bible book and read, He keeps me. That's the song we sing in Cradle Roll in the morning when the children get their little Bibles. You should see them. They're so excited to get their Bibles. And they open them up, and they're looking at the little stickers, the pictures of Jesus, and they're learning that He loves them. And that is basically the essence of my message this morning. God loves us. He helps us and He keeps us. God's word gives us hope. It gives us comfort. It gives us life, a new life, a born again life, a life that is filled with living water. Like the egg experiment, we saw the water coming up out of the egg. It couldn't help but come out.
It was so filled with that water inside. There's power in God's word. And we need to hold it fast to our hearts. Today, we're going to look just briefly a few pictures of God's power in nature. I love to take pictures. So does my husband. And it reminds us of God's power and his glory. And we're going to start with the first slide, the cloud pictures. There we go. Okay. All right. God is so powerful. And you know, in itself, the beauty of nature, it leads our soul away from sin and worldly attractions, and it leads us toward purity, peace, and God when we're out in nature. Do you find that to be true? And God's purpose in parable teaching was definitely in line with the Sabbath. You can do the next one. I love clouds. I think of Job 37 that says, "Do you know how the clouds are balanced? Those wondrous works of him who is perfect in knowledge." It makes me think, you know, God can put balance in my life too. If he can balance the clouds, he can help me have balance too. The Sabbath is a very special day to be out in nature and to see God's wondrous works. And as we get close to the heart of nature, Christ makes his presence real to us and we sense his peace and his love. Next picture, please. The lilies. I love the lilies. We see these at, this is one from Botanica, and we love to go there and see the beautiful trees and flowers. Next one. This is a beautiful tree there, not far from the pond, the lily pond, and it's called a hedge maple, and it's a very beautiful tree, very thick. Never seen the leaves so thick on a tree. Okay. And the roses, you know, we usually say roses have thorns, but really the thorns are covered with roses, aren't they? The thorns are really covered with roses. Okay, next one. And the songbirds. I know I don't have as beautiful pictures as Dr. Tan, but anyway, this one's a little blurry, but we'd love to hear the cardinals in the morning. Do you get to hear them too? Some of the beautiful birds outside. And the next picture. And I want to thank... I want to thank Ben and Sean Cowden. You know, they have helped us to contemplate the works of God at Vespers. They've had beautiful programs on birds that they've been sharing with us. And if you've missed them, you've really missed something. So you need to be sure to come to Vespers so you can see those. Okay, next one. These are some tomato plants that I didn't know if they'd grow this year. So I just wanted you to see the plants. I started them from seed. And, you know, there's power in a seed. There's power there that God puts there. And as we work with the soil and we work with the seed and we nurture it, it starts to grow. But it's only by God's power that it can grow. And these seeds, I didn't know if they'd make it. The plants came beautiful, and then all of a sudden they started to die and wilt. And I was afraid that I was going to lose them all. And then... but I just prayed. I really prayed for those tomato plants. And they grew, and it was the best plants we had, the best tomatoes we've ever had. So I just want to praise God this morning for helping us with our plants. Okay. And, of course, we need the rain, and we need the sunshine. And after a rain one afternoon, we saw this beautiful rainbow. And, of course, that always makes me think of God's promise that he says, "I do set my bow in the clouds." And it will be for a covenant that there will no more be water all over the earth. And so I think of that. And the ocean. We've been, the next slide, please. the ocean, and you can go to the next one. The ocean is so beautiful, and we've been learning also in Cradle Roll about God's wonders in the ocean and how He loves us. And the next picture is a picture of things we learned about. We learned about the seahorses and the starfish, and it was very a very fun thing for the children to learn. Okay, and then this summer, in August, on August 21, we got to see the total solar eclipse, which was just an amazing thing to us. We didn't know if we were actually going to get to see it, but just at the last minute, the clouds parted, and we could see this wonder that God performed in the sky. Next picture. And it was just coming back out of it then. Okay, next picture. And sunsets. You know, Kansas has some of the most beautiful sunsets and sunrises. At least we think so. And we just always appreciate them. Okay, next picture. And the sun, the sunshine. I had to get another cloud picture in there because I really like those clouds. Okay, you know, in Desire of Ages, it says salvation is like sunshine. It belongs to the whole world. You know, God wants to save everyone, not just a few people. He wants to save everyone. And we need to believe in Him so we can be saved. And He is so good to us. Well, as our scripture said this morning in Hebrews, and the last part there in verse 3, it says, He upholds all things by the word of His power. And He holds all those things up that we saw. And, you know, He is, it's more than we realize, I think. In the commentary on the word upholding, there's a Greek word called phero, which means to bear or to carry, to bear long, and to bear up. And when we compare that phrase with that is in Colossians, by Him all things consist, that is, hold together, phero is more comprehensive than our English word consist, since it embraces the concept of purposeful working, of planning. And this definition changes the concept from that of a mere power sustaining the physical universe to that of an intelligent being who has a plan and is in the process of carrying out that plan. Do you believe God has a plan for your life today? Amen. I do too. You know, He holds everything up by His power. Do you think He can hold you up too? Amen. He is. He is holding you up right now. And we need to receive that word and hold fast to it. It's our only hope. And so we see God's wisdom and power and love in nature. And I'm so glad He gave us that second book that we can view the glories of the Lord. And you know, Christ taught these parables, and He not only wanted us to think about them on the Sabbath, but even during the week. He has wisdom for all of us in our daily walks of life, whether we're at a desk, or if we're out plowing in a field, or if we're teaching somewhere. He wants us to see the illustrations that can help us to lift our minds up to God. Okay, so, you know, every association of life, He wants us to find some divine truth that can get our attention so that our daily toil won't so absorb our attention and lead us to forget God, but He wants us to have something to continually remind Him of us. And so I was thankful for my husband's egg experiment because it helped me to think about God and what He wants to do in our lives. And so I appreciate the way God uses parables, the way Jesus used parables to teach us. Let's turn to Matthew 13. We're going to look at the parable of the sower and the seed. Matthew 13, it's in 3 through 9. We'll look at that a few minutes. Is everyone there? Okay, amen. Verse 3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." God wants us to bear fruit in our life. He wants us to experience that 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. He wants us to have that in our life. And Jesus explained the parable of the sower over in the same chapter, verses 18 through 23. "Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. What is the good seed that was sown? What does it say? The word of the kingdom? It's the word of God, isn't it? It falls on the hearts of people everywhere. And the hearers of God's word are depicted in different ways here. The first one, by the wayside. They don't seem to understand it. And Satan wants to snatch away any little glimmer that they've received. In Christ Object Lessons, there's a beautiful chapter on the sower went forth to sow. And it gives us other insights into this parable. And she talks about the wayside hearer being an inattentive hearer, someone who's absorbed in selfish aims. Our next one is verse 20. "But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles." So the stony ground hearer is what has more of a superficial experience. They trust more in their own works. And when the word of God points out something that's maybe cherished in their heart, they don't want to give up. They become offended. And they profess to accept Christ as their Savior, but they don't believe he'll give them the power to overcome their sins. They don't really have that close walking relationship with Jesus. The thorns, the next one, 22. "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Thorns. Thorns of sin. Have you ever noticed how the thorns and the weeds in the garden don't need to be cultivated? They just grow. They just grow. But we need to cultivate the grace that God wants to give us. And when we see these things that God shows us in his word, we may realize that there's habits we have, practices that we have, that need to be left behind. And none of us are free from the temptation to worldly care. We all have worldly cares. But many of Christ's followers forgot the simple lesson from the flowers of the field, and they don't trust him with constant care, for his constant care. And Christ can't carry their burden because they don't cast it on him. Therefore, the cares of life, which should drive us to the Savior for help and comfort, separate us from him. And then there's those who work with a very different purpose, but they fall into the same error. They allow their labor to crowd out devotion. They can be so busy doing good things, but they forget that Christ has said, without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. Remember the egg that was down there? The egg's hardly anything. It's just really shrunk. And it reminds us how we are so small. There's nothing we can do on our own, only by God's Spirit filling us up. And, you know, the beautiful thing about this is, in Christ Object Lessons, page 56, it says, in every case, the sower and the seed are the same. Thus, he teaches that if the Word of God fails of accomplishing its work in our hearts and lives, the reason is to be found in ourselves. But the result is not beyond our control. True, we cannot change ourselves, but the power of choice is ours, and it rests with us to determine what we will become. And this is what is so beautiful. The wayside, the stony ground, and the thorny ground hearers, they don't need to remain that way. Oh, there's hope. Oh, don't be discouraged. Haven't we all seen ourselves in these hearers? Haven't we all been inattentive? Haven't we all maybe had a stony heart? We've all let things crowd out our time with the Lord. So there's hope for us. We need not be discouraged. God wants us to see these things and understand them so that we can be a good ground hearer. And the good ground hearer, what happens to him? Verse 23. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So the one who has the good heart is a believing heart. He has faith in the Word of God, and that's where we want to be this morning too. I trust we all want to have faith in God's Word. You know, as we think about God's power in nature, in Psalm 33, it talks about, let me just go there a minute. Psalm 33, you can go there with me. Psalm 33. Verse 6 and verse 9. Psalm 33. Verse 6 and verse 9. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and all the host of them. And verse 9 says, for he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. So he spoke, and it stood fast. Do you think his word can speak to our hearts and hold us fast? Amen. Amen. I know he can. We need to receive God's word and hold it fast. Well, God's word is powerful to work in our lives. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3:16 and see what God's word can do for us. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And God's word will do this for us as we seek him, as we come and we listen to what his word says. The Holy Spirit will bring home to our hearts, oh, okay, Lord, that's something I need to have changed in my heart. I need to have a change of heart. And he will reprove us. He'll correct us. He'll instruct us in the right way to go. And that's the power of God's word. And in Psalm 119:11, it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And for those of us that are in the memorization class, I just want to say it is such a blessing. And I want to thank you, Ivanya, for leading out in that. And all of you that come, hasn't it been a blessing to memorize God's word and to have it there in your heart? Because you think of it, you can meditate on it as you go through the day. And I hope more of you will come and join us to memorize. And in Psalm 119, we all know that familiar verse as well. In verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." And Isaiah 40, verse 8 says, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of God stands forever." So we can take God at his word. There is nothing else. We can take him at his word. He holds us up with his powerful promises as we have faith in him. And this morning, I want to have just a few minutes at the end. I want you to be able to share, if there's one or two of you that would want to share, how the power of God's word has helped you in your life. Think of something that you could share. For me, understanding God's power in my life for real, for knowing him for real, that came many years ago when I was 20, and I was on an island, and I was out late at night shelling, and I didn't know how I was going to get back to the shore, and I just remember claiming God's promise that night. "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus." And he helped me. And it was one of the first times I remember claiming a Bible verse, and I could see how God answered it for me. And it was such a precious time in my life. And I'm sure all of us each day have these experiences where we can see how God is helping us and answering our prayers. Well, this past week, my husband and I have been learning about the occupation of building a home and how the foundation is the most important part of the building. And if it's built correctly with all the stabilizing features it should have, then the stresses from the outside world will find the correct path down through all those, if I can say them correctly, all the trusses, the joints, or the joists, the load-bearing beams and the walls, down to the foundation and then down into the earth. Well, spiritually, we're being built up as a spiritual house, and we need a strong foundation. Have you found that to be true? Because the stresses of life, the winds that come along, the hurricane winds sometimes that want to knock us off our foundation, we need a strong foundation. In the spirit of prophecy, it says, in Councils on Sabbath School Work, "The words and promises of God are the only foundation to our faith. Take the word of God as truth, as a living, speaking voice to you, and obey faithfully every requirement." God is faithful who has promised. He truly is. And in all the promises of God's word, he is speaking to us individually, speaking as directly as if we could hear his voice. It's in these promises that Christ communicates to us his grace and power. They are leaves from that tree, which is for the healing of the nations. Received, assimilated, they are to be the strength of the character, the inspiration and sustenance of the life, and nothing else can have such healing power. Nothing besides can impart the courage and faith which give vital energy to the whole being. Not only is God our powerful creator, but our powerful deliverer from sin. He wants to heal us through his word. It was the power of God that delivered Israel from their bondage in Egypt. And it's the power of God that delivers us from our bondage of sin. It was the power of God that helped Israel through the wilderness. And it's the power of God that will help us through our wilderness experiences. But how soon did they forget? How soon do we forget? Let's turn with me to Psalm 78:40. Psalm 78:40. Are we there? Okay, amen. How often they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him in the desert. Yes, again and again they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And then 42. They did not remember his power, the day when he redeemed them from the enemy. They didn't remember. They didn't remember. They didn't remember his power, and they disbelieved that God could help them get over into the promised land. They'd been there wandering 40 years, and it was time to go home to their earthly home, Canaan. But they couldn't go. And so those that didn't believe died in the wilderness. They couldn't enter in because of their unbelief. How often, I don't know, have we been delivered from situations and then sadly forget what God has done for us? Or we come to a situation and we think, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. And then we realize, I know what I need to do. I need to pray. I need to get on my knees and pray. I know God helped me here, and I know he's going to help me again. And so, think about the people in the days of Samuel. They wandered so far from God, and they lost their confidence in his ability to defend them, and they even asked for a king. They wanted to have a king like the other nations around them. Well, God can deliver us from the power of darkness that wants to just close us up, and part of that darkness is not believing in God, but we want to believe. And we have several examples in the Bible. In Psalm 77, let's turn there. We're not far away. Just turn back a page. Psalm 77. You know, if you read that passage, you find that David was complaining, and he was feeling pretty overwhelmed with what was going on in his life. But then what was the turning point? Verse 10 and 11. And I said, this is my anguish, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of your deeds. Oh, David decided to remember. He decided to remember. Others that we know in the Bible that decided to remember or decided to believe in Jesus. Go to Luke 1. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 1, 26. We have the story here of Christ's birth being announced to Mary. The Mary, the mother of Jesus. And I'm not going to read that whole passage. I know you know the story. What is beautiful to me is verse 38. Well, and 37. Let's read 37 and 38. for with God nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And do you think she was glad she took God at his word, Gabriel at his word, God's word to her, that she was going to be the mother of baby Jesus? How precious. And in Luke 1:45, down just a few verses, we see Elizabeth saying, Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Okay, they believed. And what a beautiful story we have of what happened because they believed. They could have not believed, but they chose to believe. And we are learning Hebrews 11 in our scripture memory. And this has just been so on my heart this week. Hebrews 11:11. Let's go there. Hebrews 11:11. Find that. This verse has become a very precious one to me this week. Well, for several weeks now. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Do we judge him faithful who has promised? How many promises do we have in the Bible? I know someone has tried to count them all. I don't remember how many there are. I know there are hundreds. You think of a few that maybe ring in your mind right now that you claim, maybe ones you claim every day. I know there's ones I claim every day. Like, to not be anxious. Be not anxious, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, and with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. And he does. I don't know how he does that, but he has performed that miracle in my heart so many times. We can claim those promises for ourselves because they're for us. They're for you. They're for me. And we need to receive those words and hold them fast. In Christ Object Lessons, page 38, it says, In every command and in every promise of the Word of God is the power, the very life of God, by which the command may be fulfilled and the promise realized. He who by faith receives the Word is receiving the very life and character of God. What a promise. What a promise. We can all have times when we become tempted to be discouraged. I had an experience like that some time ago when I was with my husband and daughter at Loma Linda. And I was not feeling well. And that's usually when I'm tempted to be discouraged. I just wasn't feeling well physically. And I thought, well, after I rest, I'll feel better in the morning. But in the morning, it was still, I wasn't feeling too good. But I was impressed to go to Psalm 139. And for those of you that have that as a special favorite, it's one of my favorites as well. Psalm 139. You know, God's perfect knowledge of who we are and where we are and what's going on in our lives. And he knows everything about us. He says, you know my sitting down and my rising up, and you understand my thoughts afar off. He knows our every thought. And so I knew he knew my thoughts that morning, and I needed to hear what God had to tell me that morning. I read that psalm and I thought, you know, I know you understand. And as I read his truth of his word, my thoughts began to change. And I read in verse 17, How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Jesus is with us all the time. We don't ever need to worry. And I kept reading on through Psalm 143. And as I was pouring out my complaint to the Lord that morning, much like David did in Psalm 77, I realized as I kept reading that God was changing my heart, my life, my thoughts. And it was a beautiful experience for me. And he was helping me to hear his loving kindness that morning and to know that I could trust him, that I didn't need to worry. And so he revived me. And it was the power of God's word, simply that, nothing else. It was the power of God's word. And so it's more than I can express. I don't really know how to express all this, that what's in my heart right now. But he changed my thoughts. And God's word to me was just as it says in Hebrews 4. Let's go there. Hebrews 4, verse 12. Are we there? Okay. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Oh, it's just what he did for me that day. And it's what he wants to do for us every day. And help us to understand our thoughts, and that they can all be captive to Jesus. The Word of God is living and powerful. What a privilege that God works with us and changes our hearts. He is in the process of recreating us. Sometimes we all need a little CBT, as we say in depression recovery. Cognitive behavioral therapy. We need to change our thoughts sometimes. We can get thoughts going that only bring us down or discourage us. And in Ministry of Healing, I love this phrase: instead of thinking of your discouragements, think of the power you can claim in Christ's name. Let's remember that. Let your imagination take hold of the unseen, and let our thoughts be directed toward God's love for us. Oh, give me the Bible. Give me the Bible. Star of gladness gleaming, to cheer the wanderer, lone and tempest-tossed. No one is exempt from trials and troubles. But when we take them to God, he shows his strength on our behalf. Let's go to John 1:14. Okay, are we there? John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise the Lord that he came. Let's, next slide, please. The life of Christ that gives life to the world is in his word. It was by his word that Jesus healed disease and cast out demons. By his word, he stilled the sea and raised the dead. And the people bore witness that his word was with power. He spoke the word of God as he had spoken through all the prophets and teachers of the Old Testament. The whole Bible is a manifestation of Christ, and the Savior desired, this is what the Savior desired, to fix the faith of his followers on the word. When his visible presence should be withdrawn, the word must be their source of power. Like their master, they were to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The word must be our source of power today. And what does it mean to live by every word? In Desire of Ages, it says on page 391, when we feed on his word, we find in it spirit and life. The word destroys the natural earthly nature. Just like that vinegar destroyed that outer shell of that egg so that it could be soft and be movable. The Holy Spirit comes to the soul as a comforter. By the transforming agency of his grace, the image of God is reproduced in the disciple. He becomes a new creature. Love takes the place of hatred, and the heart receives the divine similitude. This is what it means to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. This is eating the bread that comes down from heaven. May we feed on his word. May our earthly nature be destroyed and have new life in Christ. And when we are, we will be witnesses for Jesus. Turn with me to Acts 1:9. Acts 1:9. God wants to give us his power. In Acts 1:9, oh, I'm sorry, it's Acts 1:8. I'm sorry, wrong verse. Acts 1, verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Jesus wants us for a witness. He has many witnesses in the Word. My mind goes, of course, usually always to the woman at the well. She came there that day. She was thirsty, not only physically but spiritually. And she came in contact with the living water, who knew everything about her. And Christ revealed himself to her, telling her that he was the Messiah, the Christ that was to come. And faith sprang up in her heart. She believed in Jesus, and she received that living water. And it started flowing out of her. She couldn't wait. She didn't even take her water pot with her. She went back home, and she couldn't wait to tell the people in Samaria about Jesus, whom she had met and had told her everything about her life. She knew this was the Messiah. The Lord, the Spirit of the Lord was working with her. The power of truth is to transform our heart and our character. We have so many powerful witnesses in the Bible, from faithful Abel down to John the Revelator. And to this day, there's so many that have been faithful witnesses for the Lord. And God wants us to have power in our lives to live a godly life as well. And in Romans 1:16, it says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Paul understood the power of God's work in his own life, and he'd seen the power of God and its effect on others as well. And Peter, in 1 Peter 1:5, it says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed at the last time." God will keep us by his power. And as we have faith in him, and have that connection with him, there's nothing that can separate us from God. Nothing. Have you seen the power of God's word in your life? Is there anyone this morning that would want to share a testimony? Esther. Okay, we need a microphone over here. Okay.
Microphone on. Okay. This is kind of a long testimony, so I'm going to tell just a little part of it. Brian and I decided to have a baby, and we were so excited. And then we discovered that we could not have babies, and we were very disappointed. And I went from a very faithful woman to being a very worried woman and a very fearful woman. And I lost my focus. I went on focused on having a baby instead of focused on my Savior and God's Word. I remember just, I was afraid all the time, and I never used to be that way. It's a horrible way to feel, to not be able to sleep at night because you're just completely oppressed by horrible thoughts of everything that could go wrong in your life, you know? And I'm sure that I'm not the only one who has experienced that before. Every single night, I would dread going to sleep because I knew once I laid down in bed, all the worrying thoughts would just come in and I wouldn't be able to sleep. And hours would go by before I'd finally fall to sleep. God put me, 3 years of this went by. God put me in contact with some ladies who were very faithful, and they taught other people how to use God's word to fight against temptation, against sin, against Satan. It was such a blessing to me. I remember the first night they told us, God does not want you to be afraid. And that was a new thought to me. I hadn't thought about the fact that God really didn't want me to have trouble falling asleep. He didn't want me to be afraid. He did not want me to feel like I could not accept all of Jesus' promises as my own because he might not have meant it for me. I actually thought that, and that wasn't true. All God's promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I didn't understand that. I remember they gave us a verse that night. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Well, I went home that night, and I decided that I was going to do my level best not to think any scary thoughts, not to allow the worry to take over, to focus on Jesus. And so that night, we went to bed, and I was laying there, and the thoughts, it was almost, I could almost see a black cloud just rolling over me, the thoughts of horrible, scary things. And I said, under my breath, because he was laying next to me, I said, no, I will not fear, for God has not given me a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. And it backed off, and then it came back, and I said, no, I will not fear. And it must have been 100 times that night that I persisted because I knew God did not want me to be afraid.
Amen.
And he had promised that he does not want me to be afraid. Amen. And so I laid there and I repeated it must have been 100 times. But eventually the darkness completely left. All the scary thoughts left. And I was at peace.
Amen.
And I could go to sleep.
Amen.
And this repeated several nights until pretty soon it didn't come back. And the Lord turned me back into a faithful woman and showed me how to fight using God's word,
using God's word.
Is what Jesus did.
Yes.
He used God's word.
Yes.
And just a couple months later, I got pregnant with Emma. And that's another testimony in itself. But The Lord was so good to me to put me in contact because I was so down in the depths. I didn't even listen to Brian at that point. I was just like, oh, you know, that's you, that's not me. But God is so good, and I'm so thankful for His word. If it weren't for that verse, mm-hmm. and God saying it to me,
to you,
to mm-hmm. me, mm-hmm. I would still be a worried mess that couldn't sleep. Uh-huh. And perhaps I wouldn't have my children. Mm. You know, God is very good and very faithful. And I'm very thankful.
Amen. Amen. Okay. Was there anyone else that wanted to share something? Amy? Amy has something.
I just wanted to share that even the littlest things can make a difference. This week we had parent conferences at school, and I have 10 children in my class, and they're 3-year-olds, so they're very small, and you think that they don't catch things or they don't understand or they don't care or whatever, but I had two parents during the parent conferences, two different families, who brought up the fact that their children refused to eat dinner without having prayer because of us praying at school. And we think it's nothing. It just comes natural to us to pray before we eat. But it makes a big impression on their lives. And, you know, one of them said that their boy says, two hands together, eyes, close eyes. And then he says the prayer. And they couldn't understand. He has bad speech problems.
Oh.
And they couldn't understand what he was saying, so they were asking me about it. And so I repeated to them the prayer that we say, because we say the same thing after each meal, and we eat breakfast, lunch, and snack. And so they get it 3 times a day.
Okay.
And then one of them, the child, was mixing up the prayer that we pray before we eat and the prayer that we say at chapel time, because I'm in charge of chapel. And so, you know, they were mixing up two of the prayers, but they were still praying.
Still praying.
And they are insisting at home that they pray before they eat, even when they're just eating a snack or a treat, or even at restaurants, the child makes them pray and won't let them eat until they pray. So just remember, even the little things, or even with the youngest kids, it makes a difference.
It makes a difference. Yeah. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Amy. Was there anyone else? Okay. Okay. Oh, was there? Oh, Veronica? Oh, Veronica had one.
Very much like Cheryl and I, words don't really, don't even scratch the surface of what my heart longs to be able to say. A lot of times I pray and I ask the angels of heaven if they would communicate to the Father what I really want to say, because I don't have the words to say it. I feel that way right now. But I am so indebted to God for His word. And just for me, and I've shared this at prayer meetings, so I'm not going to go through all the details, but just since the beginning of October, or the middle of October, I guess it was, the Lord has given me the most phenomenal opportunity and privilege to go through a test of faith that has just been more precious to me than life itself. And I am so honored to God for this faith experience and how He has kept me just trusting Him, and the peace that has flooded my soul throughout is more than human. I can't explain it. All I can say is God. Mm-hmm. And the promises that He has given me over and over and over again. And he started off and He told me just in a few days after this trial began, He gave me Ephesians 3:20, the promise of exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And I can come up with some pretty, you know, outstanding thoughts about when I'm desiring something in particular. But God has promised exceeding abundantly above. So I can't wait to see what God has in mind. But more than that, more than all the specific promises that are relevant to my situation, the most glorious part that I am holding on to is that God is reminding me that this is all for His glory. It's
Amen.
All about God, that He would be glorified.
Mm.
And I think it's so critical that we understand as a people for where we are in Earth's history. You know, I've prayed for years, Lord, please. When I pray the prayer, Lord, make me successful, I'm not thinking in terms of earthly success at all. My prayer for success is faithfulness.
Faithful.
And God understands that that's what I mean by that prayer. Mm-hmm. Lord, make me faithful. I long to be among His end time people who are faithful to the very, very end. And I refer back to those of Scripture who, though they were less than perfect, but they endured. The common denominator between each individual, though they had struggles, is they didn't give up. They
Amen.
Got back up and they continued to persevere. They continued to cling to God in spite of themselves. And they learned to look beyond their human faults to Jesus, to allow the promise of 2 Chronicles 3:18 to be their promise, looking to Him. Mm-hmm. And that's how they overcame, and that's what I'm seeing as the key. But it's critical that we understand right now, we are at war. We know that we're in a great controversy, but sometimes I don't know that we understand the magnitude that our individual trials are a signification that we are at war.
Right.
And I'm experiencing the reality of that war right now, and I'm not asking God to make it lighter necessarily. Mm-hmm. I'm not asking Him to move the mountain. I'm asking simply for grace to climb it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been the most sweet and precious journey, and I would not trade it for anything. So to God be the glory for the joy and the blessing of being counted, Him being worthy, but counted trustworthy to be able to endure such precious experience of growing faith.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Thank the Lord that His grace is sufficient for us. In closing, I would like to read Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's sing our closing song, hymn 272, Give Me the Bible.
Give me the Bible, star of gleaming, gleaming, to cheer the wanderer, lone and tempest-tossed. No storm can hide that radiant, radiant beaming, since Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, love and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible when my heart is broken, when sin and ill my soul might slow with me. Give me the precious words by Jesus spoken, all of the lamp to show my Savior near. Give me the Bible, holy message shining, Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precept and promise, love and love combining, till night shall vanish in eternal day. Give me the Bible, all my steps enlighten. Teach me the danger of its roots below. That lamb of safety, or the gloom shall brighten. That light alone, the path of peace can show. Give me the Bible, holy message shining. Thy light shall guide me in the narrow way. Precepts and promise, law and love combining. Till night shall vanish in eternal day.
Let's bow our heads. Precious Lord, we want to thank you for your word. And we ask, Lord, that it would be our source of power today, that each of us would take it as our source of power, and that we would truly live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We thank you for your word and how precious it is to us. May it be more precious every day as we see the treasures that you have for us. And as we come, may our hearts always be open to receive your word and to apply it in our lives and to not turn away if it's something that we need to change or give up. Help us to be willing to receive and to be a good ground hearer and to be faithful to you in every way. And we thank you and we come in your all-powerful name. Amen.